Tonight, open your Bibles with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is the book just before the book of Matthew. Matthew, as you know, is the first book in the New Testament. Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi in the third chapter. If I were to ask a question tonight in regards to tithing, how many of us heard a message on tithing before you came to this church? I would dare to say perhaps maybe 5% of us heard a message on tithing. We heard about paying dues and raising money in the church, but very few have heard a message on tithing. Tonight I want to talk about the revelation of the tithe. I want to talk to you about the revelation of tithing. The revelation of tithing. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, we'll start with the sixth verse, and it reads, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed or destroyed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Now, that's important because here is the children of Israel, and they did not even know that they had gone away from the Lord. Do you realize you can still come to church, participate in the church, and all the time you've gone away from the Lord? Here, the children of Israel, they were away from God and did not even recognize that. And God had to bring it back to their remembrance that He's their God and a God that changed not. And then He says, if you will return, that means you went away. If you would come back unto me, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But, He says, ye say, wherein shall we return? Question mark. You see, they did not even know that they had gone away from the Lord. And then in verse 8, a very familiar verse of scripture, or at least with us here at the Christian House of Prayer, He says, will a man rob God? And that's powerful. Will a man rob God? I'm not going to ask how many of you ever had someone stick you up, armed robbery. That's very scary. And it's very scary to think that some could rob God, could literally stick God up. And so it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? What are you talking about? And then God gets very specific. And He says, in tithes and offerings. Can you say that? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. We're talking this evening about the revelation of the tithe. I am glad as pastor to say that I am not sharing this because most of the people in the Christian House of Prayer are not tithers. As a matter of fact, it's really and truly the very opposite. We have the majority of the people who love the Lord and they give, and that's according to their love, they give, starting with the tithe. Very few of the Christian House of Prayer members are not tithers, or we would not have been able to do the things that we have done. The building we just moved out, it was paid off in full without pumping, pushing, and pulling people, without raising money in some type of worldly fashion or way, without going into competition with the Colonel, cooking chicken and bake sales and chicken. Aren't you glad that we have the kind of God that we don't have to do that? That God is able to take care of His business. And then when we moved into this building, when we turned the key, paid off in full. And now we're building what is called the Potter's House. And many of you just capriciously been giving towards that. We don't even talk about that. It's not that we don't want to, but I find that it's just a blessing that we can come and worship God and people don't even know that you're building another building. Now I want you to think about this before I go any further, because I'm going to give you the revelation of the tithe. It's going to bless you tonight. But so that you can be at ease, I want you to think about this. First of all, the preacher's not trying to get your money. And I'm going to show you why the preacher is not trying to get your money tonight. Before you came to this church, think about this with me. Before you came to this church was already here. Now, for the most part, most of you, there's only a handful of you. Sister Donna Hickson is one, was here in the first year. Sister Dolly Thomas, Brother Troy. Not many of you were here in the first year, at least more and on the first day. I don't believe there's no one here today, or tonight rather, that was here in that first service. Is that right, Valerie? Brother Kevin Lane. Kevin Lane. Thank you. Brother Kevin Lane is the only one of the original members that were here when we first started. So every one of you, when you came here, we were already here. Whatever caused you to join when you got here, we already had whatever we needed in order for you to say, this is the church for me. In other words, when you came in the door, we didn't ask you for anything. Amen. We didn't take a collection up from you, and you never heard us get up here and say, well, listen, people, if you don't give, we're going under. You never heard that. Never, never, ever have you heard that. Never. My point is, before you got here, we were here. Before I got here, God was here. So God does not need anything we have in order for him to be God. I want you to think about this now. Second of all, I want you to think about this. This church don't need anything you have in order for us to exist, because we had it before you got here. I'm feeling like Mr. Rogers. I'm getting in that neighborhood again. Now that's not to put you down. That's to let you know, before you got here, the church was already here when you got here. Without you giving one penny, everything was already paid off in full. Think about this. You say, well, this building wasn't here. But when you got here, the building that we were in was already there, paid off in full. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm simply saying God's not trying to raise a budget for the church, but he's trying to elevate the faith of his people, and he's trying to bless and meet the need of his people. This is what I'm saying. Now, so we need to start off with understanding that God's not trying to rob you, or the preacher's not trying to take from you. Because if you don't give anything, everything we already have, we already have it without you giving anything for it. Are you following me? Whenever you got here, whatever was here before you got here. And then we grew. Now, I said that to bring us into focus, to understand the revelation of tithing. You need to understand the tithe was not made per se for God, but the tithe was made for man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you'll see that. Because God does not need anything from us in order for him to exist or to be who he is. Now, statistics says that 20% of the people give 80% of the giving. Think real close with this. 20% of the people in the entire body of Christ, if you break it down to the local churches, 20% of the people give and do 80% of what needs to be done. If that is true, then 80% of the people in the body of Christ, in the church, 80% of the people, either they give very little or nothing at all. I want you to think about this now. 80% of the people give little or nothing at all. Now, I'm glad that I can say in the Christian House of Prayer, and by no means am I boasting in on me or on you, but I thank God that we don't have that kind of ratio here in this church. However, if that is so, though, I want you to see tonight, it's not a lack or testimony of a lack of people's giving. If 80% of the people give little or nothing at all, it's not a testimony on the fact of their lack of giving. But I'm going to show you, it's a testimony of a lack of their gratefulness and their love towards God. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, you're trying to lay some guilt trip on me. I'm going to let you examine what I share tonight by the Holy Spirit, and you test it and see. There's a revelation of a difference. If a person have a giving problem, it's not a real giving problem. That's just the fruit of a real problem. The root of their problem is that they have a lack of gratefulness and love towards God. That's all that it is. It's not a lack of their giving. It's a lack of gratefulness. For example, I'm talking about the love that we have in our hearts. Some people, they pay tithes. And under the Mosaic law, it was incorporated in the Mosaic law for the children of Israel to pay tithes. But I'm going to show you tonight that Abraham never paid tithes, and that was before the law of Moses. And the Bible says in whose footsteps we ought to walk and follow, and that's Abraham's. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. But God incorporated the law and put the tithe in that law, and therefore they had to pay tithes. Now, the revelation of a difference between paying something and giving something is a large margin. I don't pay tithes. I give my tithes. And you say, what difference does it make? The revelation that you operate with makes the difference in your life. Some people are still paying tithes. I just like to give them. For example, if you pay tithes, it's like paying a bill. How many of us know that when you go to pay your landlord or you go to pay your mortgage payment, it's not all the time very cheerful or you like to do it? How many of you know what it is to pay your phone bill, your electric bill? And sometimes you look at your bills and you say, how in the world is this bill so high? And you go down there and you pay your bill. Now, if you don't pay your bill, they'll cut your stuff off. So in one sense of the word, you are happy that you have it, that you can pay it, so your stuff won't be cut off. But you're not really happy that you have to pay it. How many of us would rather not pay a light bill? Let me see your hands. Do we have it? You may put your hands down. Now, I want to find out who I really need to pray for tonight. How many of you like paying light bills? Let me see your hand. I don't like paying light bills, but I got to pay them if I want my lights on. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, God says, I love a cheerful giver. I love someone that gives cheerfully. That's the kind of God that we serve. He don't want us to pay anything to him. He wants us to give out of a heart of love. Now, if I love someone, listen, love motivates you to give. A song is not a song unless you sing it. Love is not love unless you give some away. A bell is not a bell unless you ring it. Did you hear what I said? Love is not love unless you give it. See, love is something that you get. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, when you love someone, I want you to think about this. When you give someone something, it's because you love or you like them. Because you're not made to give it. Are you following me? If you love someone, then you give them something and it brings, listen, and it brings about an emotion within you towards the person that you're giving to. When I give my wife something, I give her something because I love her. When someone give you something, if it's a bona fide gift, they give it to you because of something innately within them, an attitude about them that they have towards you. And so they give something to you to bless you. Are you following me? Amen. Now, if they give something, listen, if they give something to you grudgingly or of a necessity, then it's really not a gift. If you have to give it out of necessity, and if you give it grudgingly, it's really not a gift. That's why it says God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I said that to say that some people, when it comes down to giving their tithes, because they pay tithes, because they do not have a revelation of the difference, when they give to God, they don't all the time give to God cheerfully, with an anticipation, with an expectation. They don't give to God with a gratification and a love towards him and for him. They give sometime, but it's like a grudging thing. You can tell if a person really got a revelation because they say, well, you know, how much am I supposed to give the guy? 10%. You mean to tell me God expect me to give him 10% of my money? They don't have a revelation. Because I'm going to show you that God owns it all. And you're only a steward of what God has given unto you. And if you have a job, it's because the Lord thy God is a good God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're breathing God's air and you're receiving God's light and you're receiving the cool breeze of God's night, friend, do you realize that God could turn your light bill off or turn your lights off? If God should ever cause the sun to fail to shine, there goes your light. If God should withdraw his oxygen, his air, you'll suffocate. But there's a revelation of a difference in this. Now, right here, he says, will a man rob God? How many of us know a man would rob God? I'm not going to ask how many of us have robbed him at one time or another. But he says, will a man rob God? The answer is an obvious what? Yes. Yet ye robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now look my way once again, because you need to understand something else about this revelation of the tithe. The tithe was never meant to be the ceiling where we end. The tithe was meant to be the floor where we began. Now what am I saying? A lot of people are trying to tithe. A lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to try. See, the tithe is not something that you reach for or reach to. The tithe is the place that you begin in your giving, not the place where you end in your giving. Most of you understand that. In other words, we are living under the dispensation of what we call grace. The first dispensation was the dispensation of innocency. Adam and Eve, they were innocent. And then the second dispensation was the dispensation of human government. The third dispensation, which we'll read, that was the dispensation of promise with Abraham. The fourth dispensation was the dispensation of law with Moses. And the fifth dispensation is considered the dispensation of grace or the Holy Ghost dispensation. Now, under the fifth dispensation in which we live, that's grace. Grace goes beyond the law. Are you following me? See, if you say that you're living under grace, then grace goes beyond the law. Malachi is the last book, or considered the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is considered the last book under the law of Moses. And so if we are under grace and we're saved by grace through the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, then grace goes beyond the law. Whatever the law says, we go beyond that. Are you following me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's called the New Testament. And actually it was under the old dispensation, but we call it the New Testament. And so if you would, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, that goes beyond Malachi. It doesn't stop at Malachi. In the last book of the Bible, we find God enunciating something about the tithe. And so he wants us to understand that the tithe is meant to be the floor where we begin in our giving. And we haven't even begun to give until after we started with the tithe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And so therefore he says, these people have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And then verse 9, and you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Talking about the children of Israel. Now it's not that God put a curse on people. We know that. But as I said before, God's word, and when we act in obedience to God's word, it serves as an umbrella, if I can use that as an analogy. It serves as an umbrella, meaning the curse represents rain coming down, and we have rain outside right now. How many of you know that even though it's raining, you can keep from being wet if you open up and get under your umbrella? Yet it still is raining, but you won't get wet. And so it is with God. Because of the fall of Adam, it's raining down a curse. But in obedience to God's word serves as an umbrella where we don't experience the curse of the law. Now he goes on to say in verse 10, bring ye how much?
All.
Bring ye how much?
All.
Now the reason why he says all is because he means all. Some people, they divide the tithe. They take God's money and they say, well, I want some of my tithe to go here and some of my tithe to go there. And I want to give some of my tithe to television and some of my tithe to missionary. All of the tithe belongs to God. And I'm going to show you what the tithe represents in just a moment here. He says, bring ye all the tithe. And notice he haven't even started talking to you about offerings. Why? Because the tithe is meant to be the what? Floor where we begin, not the ceiling where we end. What's the sense in talking to us about offerings until we get the foundation laid, which is the tithe for the floor? Because you haven't even began to give until you gave after the tithe. And so he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. We're going to show you what the storehouse is. The storehouse is the local church of our day and time. It's the local church where God has placed his name. You will see that. That there may be meat in my house and prove me now. And herewith saith the Lord of hosts. God never asks us to test him, but to prove him. If you really know, but know, but know, and have a revelation of who God is, you'll never test God. The only time we test God is because we don't have a revelation of who he is. I want you to write this definition down. As I share this verse of scripture, it'll bless you, it'll help you. What is the tithe? Spiritually speaking, the tithe, it is an expression of a revelation of who God is to us. Let me say that again. Now I'm going to tell you in the physical or natural what a tithe is, but what is the tithe? Spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, the tithe, it is an expression of and revelation. It's an expression of a revelation of who God is to us, who God is to me. That's number one. Number two, spiritually speaking, this is the bifurcation or the two ingredients of a tithe, spiritually speaking, what the tithe means. Number two, it is an expression of our gratification and love to and for God. Number one, it is an expression of a revelation of who God is to us, who God is to me. When I give, starting with the tithe, I'm expressing something that's in my heart, something that I know. I'm proving God when I give, starting with my tithe. It becomes an expression of a revelation of who God is to me. When I give, starting with the tithe, it becomes an expression of gratification and love that I have to and for my God. Now, once again, let's read this, and those two points or principles that I gave you, they will become more apparent as we continue on. Verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, and herewith saith the Lord of hosts. Never test God, but we prove God. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Certain things I want to bring out right here in verse 10. He says, I will open you the windows of heaven. How many of us believe that? Then that tells me that the windows of heaven must not already be open to everybody, or he wouldn't have to open them. My tithe opens the windows of heaven. Are you listening to this? Yes. Now you can pray and fast and do everything you want to do, but when it comes down to the economy of God, this is how it operates. When it comes down to God meeting your financial need, now you may skim, scam, and get something from your brothers and sisters, but you cannot say like Caleb, by God, this is mine. Because until you do what God's word says, do thank God for the mercy and compassion of other Christians. But I'm telling you, many Christians are living from the table of another Christian and not living from the table of their God. I'm not listening for amens tonight. Because I feel like Mr. Ed, I'm not only Mr. Rogers in the neighborhood, but hello, I feel like Mr. Ed, I'm in some homes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make sure we're, listen, let's make sure we're being fed from the table of God. And sometimes we think that's living by faith because we're mooching off of brothers and sisters. And God is saying, you can't, listen, we could be harboring some fugitives. Running from God. Hiding in your homes. We could be helping some outlaws. We better make sure we know what we're doing in this thing. Now, I know some of you said, boy, I tell you, I shouldn't have come tonight. You sure shouldn't if you're running from God. Because God's going to find you out tonight. Hallelujah. And so he says right here, the windows of heaven are open. God opens up the windows of heaven. If you are a tithe and beyond giving person, then the windows of heaven are open for you. And God says, I pour you out a blessing where you don't have room enough to receive it. And then he says in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations or kindreds of people shall call you blessed. In other words, we don't have to run around saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. People will look at your life and say, you are blessed, and you will be a blessing. God want to use you as a channel to bring forth his blessings to the world around us that need them. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis the 14th chapter. And once you've found your place in Genesis the 14th chapter, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter 14. Incidentally, we certainly want to congratulate Minister Solomon. My Lord. Hallelujah. Councilman-elect. This month he will be inaugurated into that particular office. We salute him once again and thank God for you, Minister Solomon, and for that wonderful staff that you have, and how that through God and gifted people, God was able to bring his man and get his man into that office. And things are going to be quite different. But in Genesis chapter 14, I want us to look at the 17th verse. Genesis chapter 14, and we want to look at verse 17. Now, this was after the king, Chedorlaomer, and other nations came in and they invaded Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's nephew, Lot, was in Sodom. And when he invaded Sodom and Gomorrah, he spoiled them, took all their goods, took Lot and his family. And when Abraham got the word that his nephew, Lot, had been taken, Abraham, he armed his trained servants. And the Bible says that there was something like 318, and they went after this king with other nations. Only 318 trained servants, not soldiers, but my God, they were beyond soldiers. They were trained, as it were, in the army of God, and the Holy Spirit was the one that was leading their army. And so Abraham and his 318 men, they delivered Lot. And they brought back the booty, that is all the goods, the silver and the gold, and they brought it back. And now Abraham is coming back into the city of Sodom. And in verse 17, this is where we pick up the narrative. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and other kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. This is important, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. What is his name? Melchizedek. Now, he's the high priest now. Melchizedek. Now, this is before Moses. This is before the Levitical priesthood. This is before Moses even comes on the scene. Melchizedek was a high priest after the order of our high priest, Jesus Christ. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of who? Heaven and of earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Verse 20, the latter part, and it reads, said with me, and he gave him tithes of all. He did what? He gave. Abraham never paid tithes. He gave tithes. And he gave him tithes of all. This was before the Mosaic law was enacted. Here we find Abraham given tithes of how much? All. God says, bring you how much? All. How much? All the tithe. And Abraham gave tithes of all that he had unto the high priest. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Notice what Abraham confesses, because we need to have this revelation in our heart. And when we give, starting with the tithe, we ought to know who we're giving to. It ought to be an expression of a revelation of who God is. This God right here, the Most High God, this is El Yon. He said he is the Most High God. He is the possessor. Do you know what possessor is? He is the owner of everything in heaven and everything on the earth. Abraham says, I know who he is. He is the owner of the heavens and the owner of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everyone that dwelt therein, meaning you and I, all of us belong to God. Abraham had a revelation. He says he's the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and of earth. Just think about that with me for a moment, Carl. He's the Most High God, meaning there is no God above him. He's the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and of earth. The Bible says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. My goodness, that's a big God. As high as heaven is. Valerie and I, we just came from a flight, and I think it was something like 35,000 feet up in the air. That's real high, people. I mean, that's high. To me, that's high. And as far as they shoot satellite, man have walked on the moon and God's beyond the moon. And it says that the earth is his footstool. No wonder we sang that song years ago. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the universe in his hand. God is a big God. As far as space is, space is compacted in God. Meaning that, if I can use my hand and say, this is everything. The world. There's nothing out here but God. In other words, as far as we can think, as far as you can fathom, all of the galaxies, God is beyond that. And the earth is his footstool. He must be a tall God. Abraham said, he's the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and of earth. And then he says in verse 23, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my what? Hand. In other words, he swore unto God, unto the Lord, the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoelatch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. I'm telling you, friend, a lot of times, God's children, and thank God again, I want to reiterate this and echo that this church, believe me, I'm not trying to minister this to get something. I believe this is the word of the Lord for this hour. Many of God's people need to have a revelation of who God is, and the tithe becomes an expression of that revelation. But many of God's children, they cannot say what Abraham is saying, that God has blessed me with this, that God has given me this, that God, he says, I won't take not even the shoestring from off of your shoes, because it will never be said that you or anyone gave unto Abraham. It will always be said that God, the Most High God, has made Abraham rich, and God made him rich. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God made him rich. And it was God that did it, not man. God was the one that did it, and God was the one that got the glory from it. Now I want you to turn in your Bible, since we're there in the book of Genesis, and go over to Genesis chapter 4. This is a revelation of an expression, or an expression of a revelation of who God is to us. And it becomes an expression of our gratification and love for and to God. I'm going to show you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This blessed me right here. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, starting with the first verse. Most of us know this account. This was after the fall of Adam and Eve. And then it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, many people say, well, where did Cain and Abel and all of them get their wives from? I'm just going to throw this in there, and you consider this. Look at this for consideration. But I believe that God tells us where they got their wives from. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I believe before this, she had some women from the Lord. Because, I mean, they're the first parents. She says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've gotten a man from the Lord. So God had to have the women first. Glory to God. That could help us also to understand to some degree maybe why we think there are more women, and there is, than men. Because the women had to be here first in order for the man to get here to help populate. See, God started out with the man Adam, and then he brought the woman out of the rib of the man. But he didn't need a man to bring the woman no more. He needed the woman to give him a man. Now, somebody, hello. He needed the man first to, if you would, to bring a woman from the rib of the man. But after he got the rib of the man and she was a woman, God didn't need the man first anymore. So let's get some women out here so we can be fruitful and multiply. Hello. And so in verse 2 it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, that's so important, underline that phrase, process of time. Meaning this didn't just happen, what we're getting ready to read, it was the process of time. Time had gone by. I would submit unto you what I'm about to read to you. Cain and Abel, both of them, knew that they were to give God the tithe. Now the tithe represents the first, say the first.
The first.
The first tenth. Can I hear you say first tenth?
First tenth.
Now I didn't just say a tenth, but the tithe represents the first tenth of our income. And somebody say, well, you mean to tell me I got to give God a tenth of everything? Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, if God is such a good God, how come it's so hard for us to give him 10 pennies out of a dollar? I don't understand that. You know, when I first got saved, Valerie and I, we first got saved, you know, and I'm not saying this to try to just throw things out to try to make like we were somebody, but we had just got a contract with a prominent recording company in California, Motown. And I had absolutely no problem, no problem, no problem. We did three commercials. I did three commercials. Had absolutely no problem, no problem giving God $2,000 and $3,000 when checks came in. I just didn't have a problem with it. I really didn't. I was so thankful and so grateful that God saved my wretched, no good soul. And you know, when I prayed for those commercials, I prayed unto God and asked God to give them to me. He gave them to me. I was so thankful that I can show him how grateful I really am. I remember a young man came in here and he got saved. This was years ago when we were in the other sanctuary where the babies are now. And he got saved, gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We had already received the offering. We were already, the congregation was already dismissed. When he received the Lord Jesus Christ, he came up to the ushers and he poured out money and wanted to give. We said, the offering has already been received. He says, I don't care. I got to give God. Here was a sinner that just got saved. He says, I got to give to God. We said, well, did anybody ever tell you that? He's a heathen. He says he'd never been to church, but there was a gratefulness within him. He wanted to. We can't pay God back, but there's an expression. Abraham knew that there was no way that he and 318 men could whip the king and all the nations that were out there. Abraham was so grateful. He said, he is the Most High God. He's the one that gave us the victory. Abraham gave him tithes of all. He didn't have to pay it. It wasn't something that God says, Abraham, I'm coming to collect my money. When Abraham saw Melchizedek, the high priest, Melchizedek had wine and bread, and it was time to rejoice, and Abraham gave him tithes of all. This an attitude of gratitude. I'm grateful and thankful. Can you remember the times when your life was on the line? I mean, you know that you was facing death and God got you out of it. Yeah. Jesus said the thief come but to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm grateful to God. Yeah. Grateful to God. All the money I have saved. Because when I were in the world, sin is very costly. It says the wages of sin. Do you know you get paid for sin? And sin asks for payment too. Oh yes. The Bible says, listen, that they enjoy sin only for a season because sin come knocking at your door. Sin comes and tell you, now it's time to pay up. You enjoyed the high, but now you got to pay for it. Sin begin to destroy your soul, destroy your marriage. Sin say you got to pay for what you've done. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he paid it all. What did he pay? He had to pay for the sins that we've committed. I'm grateful. I don't know about you. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. It's an expression of a gratefulness that I have in my heart to God and everything that God has given unto me. Whether it's clothes, whether it's a house, whether it's family, whatever, everything that I have, God is the one that has given it unto me. Hallelujah. In the process of time, there was a process of time. Follow closely now. I believe both of them understood the tithe is the first tenth of your income and of your increase. And in the process of time, it came to pass. Are you there? It came to pass that Cain brought the what? Fruit. Notice he just brought the what? Fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings. That's the key word. Now, I know we can talk about, well, Abel's gift was a blood sacrifice because it was one of the flock and Cain was just a tiller of the ground. Cain couldn't help it if his occupation was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, meaning Cain had already displayed that he knew what was acceptable with God. He knew the first fruits was acceptable with God. But Cain lost his revelation. Say he lost his revelation.
Lost his revelation.
And when we lose our revelation, you can check your giving. And if you're not giving what you was giving, it's because you've lost your revelation. You lost who God is to you. And you've lost your gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. When you check your record of giving and see if you're still giving what you were giving. And if you're not giving what you were giving, and if you're giving the same thing you were giving 3 and 4 years ago, you've lost your revelation of who God is. You go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Oh, you are really quiet on me tonight. Now, let me tell you something. I just came from El Paso, and I know we don't have the kind of folks that they have down there. You know, in other words, El Paso, boy, I tell you, it's hot down there. It's windy down there. They have a beautiful city. But I told El Paso when I was there, I said something to El Paso, and I said, I know you don't have the kind of folks down here in El Paso that we have back at Fort Hood. And they were so happy to hear that they were good saints, and maybe the saints of God down here in Fort Hood weren't so good. So now that I'm down here in Fort Hood, back in my home church, I know we don't have saints down here in Fort Hood like we got back in El Paso. What do I mean? I mean, of course, you know, they have a different time. How many of us know their time is different than ours? So you know if they have a different time, they have to be different also. How many of us know people are people no matter where you go? People that will be listening to this by means of video or radio. People are people. And whenever we check our record of giving and see that we are not giving what we were giving, we've lost our revelation of who God is. I guarantee you that. In the process of time, this is what it says. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The firstlings of his flock, that's the what? Or somebody's with me. The firstlings of his flock is the what? And the fat thereof, what's that? Offerings. He started with the tithe, that's the floor, the beginning place of his giving. And he gave the fat thereof. He gave an offering unto God. And it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well. Now, how many of us know that we are accepted in the Beloved? You're not accepted because what you give to God. You are accepted because of who God is. None of us are accepted on the basis of anything that we do or have not done. But how many of us know that you can be accepted, but what you do may not always be accepted? That's why the Bible says that we are to walk in the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And I used the illustration before, you know, when my daughter Nicole, when she was much younger, and she would do the dishes, sometimes she would rush in there and do those dishes, and she wanted to rush back out. And she would do those dishes, and Valerie would come in there and inspect those dishes. And Valerie said, Nicole, get back in here. You got to do those dishes all over again. I washed those dishes. I cleaned those dishes. But Valerie said, the dishes are not acceptable. And we didn't kick her out the house and tell her to pack her bags, and she can't sleep in here because she didn't. No, she was still going to bed that night, but what she did wasn't accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved, but everything I do and everything you do are not acceptable with God. And it has nothing to do with my acceptance. God's not taking anything. He says, you give me the firstlings. Give me the first. Well, I'll just, you know, when the offering bucket is passed sometime, people just drop in quarters. Friend, you tip a shoeshine boy more than what you give to God. We pull out quarters and give to God. And when you go to, not Piccadilly's, but not Luby's either, but Red Lobster, thank you. Or the Olive Garden. When you go to some of those places, friend, they even tell you how much they want. And they tell you it's in your bill. Just in case you are too cheap to give unto us. And they don't say we want 10%. How many of us know what they're asking for now? 15%. Wanting more than God. And when the offering comes, we have the nerve and the audacity sometimes to tip God like we're tipping a shoeshine boy. God says, you can keep your money. It's not acceptable. Put that quarter back in your pocket. Now somebody say, suppose that's all that I have. Then you've given more than a lot of people have given. Because you gave all that you have. God is not looking at how much you give in the sense of a quarter. But he's looking at the value in your heart. You're sitting with all God's money in your pocket. God has blessed you with a good job. God has given you the ability to work, and you're sitting there with God's money in your pocket, and you mean to tell me you're going to tip them like a shisha? God says you keep your 10, 15, 20, keep your 50 cents. I was here before you got here. I'm trying to bless you. I don't need the 50 cent that you're giving unto me. I don't need whatever you have in order for me to be God. Just think, before we were saved, God didn't need us in order for him to be God, and people were getting saved without us even knowing about him. God's trying to bless us. It's an attitude of gratitude. Here we find this man Cain, he lost his revelation. And God says in verse 7, if thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? What's the answer? Yes. And if thou dost not well, this is important, sin, say sin.
Sin.
Life at the door. Say that, sin, life at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now he says, sin, life at the door. Do you know that's how the devil gets in? How? Sin lying at the door. If we would take time, elders, if we would take time, when people have marital problems, or the majority of their problems, if we would take the time and check their record of giving, you'll locate their problem. We can save time. How did the devil get in? Check their record of giving and see if they're tithing. And I'm telling you, you can locate the root of their problem. How did the devil get in? He says sin lies at the door. It's right there. And it was connected and associated with that man's giving. I want you to turn in your Bibles two or three more verses of scripture. Look at Hebrews. Oh my goodness, somebody is enjoying this. Let me give you two more verses of scripture. Three at the most. Hebrews chapter 7. If you're there, say hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And some of you are saying it while you're turning. Hebrews chapter 7. And while you turn to Hebrews chapter 7, let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 11. You turn to chapter 7 and I'll read chapter 11 and the fourth verse regarding what we just read about Cain and Abel. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. He obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel obtained a witness from God that he was righteous. And it said, God testifying of his gifts. God testifies of our gifts. Are you hearing this? God testifies. How many of us know what a testimony is? Amen. That means you stand up and you tell something. God testifies of our gifts. And God says, you really do trust in me. You really do love me. You say, what does this have to do with trust? You'll see before we close. One more verse of scripture after Hebrews 7. I'm going to show you. God says, you really do trust in me. Because friend, if you don't give starting with the tithe, what you're saying is, I don't believe God. I don't believe that God can do more with 9/10 than I can with 10/10. That's why I'm keeping the 10th. Apart from that, you would give God the 10th. How come we haven't given him the 10th? Because we really don't trust in God. If we really do trust in him, then we say, God, I believe you can do with more with 9/10 than I can with 10/10. I'm a give starting with the 1/10. How many of us know we need 11/10 and 12/10, and some of us need 13, 14, 15/10? I mean, 10/10 of, in other words, whatever we make is not enough in terms of what we make to really help us to get through. What most of us make is not enough. And so God is saying, I know that it's not enough. But God, you're asking me for, now 10/10 is not enough. I need 13/10. But God says, give me the 1/10. The 1/10. That means you're trusting in me to take care of the other 10ths. Give me the 1/10. The 1/10 of your income. And see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. Hey! And pour you out a blessing. and I'll take care of the devil for you. You can rebuke the devil and rebuke the devil until the Lord says the devil is rebuked. He's not rebuked. And don't get upset with me. Why would he say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake? Many of us been rebuking the devil from our finances, and the devil haven't let him go. Why? Because when you give, starting with the tithe, it becomes an expression of a revelation of who God is to you. You don't have to worry about taking care of the devil. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. A part of rebuking the devourer for your sake, and that is simply to say that God shows that you're in covenant relationship with him. And whoever mess with you, mess with God. Whoever take from you, take from God. And God said, don't you worry about that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. I'll show you where Jacob, listen, Jacob said, and I'll give tithes of all. He had a revelation of the house of God. And because he said that God rebuked Jacob's uncle by the name of Laban, who was going to take from Jacob, and God rebuked him and said, don't you touch him. Don't you touch Jacob. And this man wanted to get his hands around Jacob's neck. Here Jacob is leaving with his best cattle, leaving with his best stock, leaving with his daughters, both of them. This man wanted to get a hold of Jacob. He said, when I catch Jacob, and in the night, God caught that man, rebuked him, and said, you go ahead, and you can meet Jacob, but you're not going to touch him. Friend, I want you to know, when God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, the boss may not want to give you a promotion or a raise, but when God rebukes the devourer for your sake, the boss got to bless you, even if he don't like it. He's got to do it anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he'll tell you, I don't like you. You don't have to like me in order to give me what God says is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I'm asking you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 7. God testified of that man's gift. Verse 1. Are you there now? Hallelujah. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. Remember we read that? And blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave. What did he do? He gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. That is Melchizedek. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Meaning no one really knows where this man Melchizedek came from. It's not saying that he doesn't have a mother or father, but it's saying that he came on the scene and no one knows where he came from the standpoint of his ancestry. And it says in verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. In other words, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abided a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, and next week we'll talk about that, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes. They have a commandment to what? Take tithes. See, we'll talk about that next week. In essence, that was under the Mosaic law. They was commanded take tithes. That means the people was commanded to pay tithes. And so it says commanded to take tithes of the people according to the law. That's the law of Moses. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. He didn't take tithes. What did he do? Receive tithes. Jesus don't want to take tithes from none of us. What do he want to do? Receive tithes. There's a revelation of a difference. There's a revelation in this tithe. Receive tithes. Do you see that? Of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is better, or blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. It is witness that he liveth. What is that saying? God's not dead. When you give your tithe, you let the devil know God is not dead. It's witness. You are testifying, and you become a witness of God that God is not dead, because Jesus Christ, our high priest, when we give, starting with our tithes, he received tithes, and it's a testimony. My God is not dead. Now, many of us sing that song, God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still alive. If you are not giving, starting with the tithe, your testimony is God is dead. This is in the Bible. And then in verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes. He paid them. We don't pay them. He paid them. We don't pay them. He paid tithes in Abraham. Our last verse of scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. We close with this. Proverbs chapter 3. There is a revelation of the tithe. Proverbs chapter 3, and we close. When I give, starting with the tithe, it's an expression, hallelujah, of a revelation of who God is to me. And then when I give, starting with the tithe, it is an expression of gratification and love to my God. God, I just want to know I love you. I love you. And Jesus said, if you love me, then you will. Somebody's with me tonight. If you love me, then you will keep. People say, I can't afford to tithe. You just don't know. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Doubles for me and we in 1993. Get ready. But you can't afford not to. And we'll talk about those, what I call the little funnies, the little particular things, in terms of maybe some of the women say, well, my husband, he won't allow me to tithe. Now, listen, you can tithe what you have. Everybody can afford to tithe. Did you hear what I said? God has put it on a level where everyone can afford to tithe. If all you got was $5 out of 1992, you are a tither if you tithe it off the five. And God will take and bless you on the basis of what you gave. You say, I don't even have a job. But listen, you don't need a job in order for you to tithe. God will get you the job. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Everybody can afford to tithe. Therefore, we don't have nobody saying, well, you know, I give more than you. No, 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 friend. A person that gives the tithe of $1,000 versus the person that gives the tithe of $5, which one gave the most? Neither. A tithe is a tithe. It's according to how God has blessed you and what you have. Everybody can afford the tithe, and everybody can receive the blessing of the windows of heaven being opened unto them, that God takes the little bit that you give and increase it for your good. Proverbs chapter 3, and starting with the fifth verse, and we close with this chapter right here, with this verse. We're going to read verse 5 all the way, 5 and 6, and then verse 9, and 9 and 10, then we close. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you read that correctly? Trust in the Lord. See, the tithe deals with trusting in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then in verse 9 it says, honor the Lord. Say, honor the Lord. Another way of saying that is respect the Lord. Honor the Lord. Now I'm going to show you how we respect God right here. He says, honor or respect the Lord with thy what?
Substance.
With thy what?
Substance.
with thy substance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. See, too many people are paying tithes, and when they pay tithes, they're not honoring the Lord with their faith. See, he says you got to have substance. What substance? Not the money in your hand, but the faith in your heart. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. What substance? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When I honor the Lord, I'm trusting in God that God, you are able to do more with 9/10 than I can with 10/10. How many of us know that's trust? How many of us know that's faith? I'm exercising faith in my God. So when I come to God with my tithes and with my offerings, I'm honoring Him first of all with my faith. God is not concerned or interested in what you're giving from the standpoint of the physical thing. If you're paying it unto God, then you're not honoring God with the substance of faith. Because God rewards faith. He that come to God must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, you can just say, honor the Lord with thy faith. And then after that it says, and, hallelujah, with what? The first fruits. So you see, he wasn't talking about the tithe when he said substance. Because he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and in addition, and with the first fruits. And with the first fruit. Oh, it's a blessing when you can honor God with your tithe. By your substance of faith. Therefore, when you give hilariously. You give joyfully. You're releasing your faith. You're believing in a living God. You have an anticipation. You have an expectation that God's heavens are open unto you. You are looking. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? You are looking. The Bible says, casting your bread upon the waters, and you shall find it after many days. Meaning you're looking for your ship to come in. If you haven't cast anything out there, then you're looking for someone else's to come in. But friend, if you have worked and you fill out your income tax and you send it in, you're looking for something to come back. But if you haven't put anything in, nothing comes out. You're not looking for one for you. Maybe somebody else's that you know you're looking for theirs. But if you put one in, you can look for one to come back. If you've given unto God's house, God says, open up your heart and I will cause it to come into your house. Hallelujah. You take care of God's business, God says, and it's my business to take care of yours. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What's going to happen, Father? Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Hey, I believe this book. I believe the B-I-B-L-E. I believe God is a good God. All the time. I believe that God will do what he said he'll do in his book. He says, and listen, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Do you know what plenty is? More than enough. Hey! So shall thy barns be filled with how much? Plenty. How much?
Plenty.
Not barely enough. Not just enough. He says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty. I believe this verse of scripture. And then he says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There'll be new joy. There'll be new joy. When God's people, like in this church, get so excited about just giving unto God. When we say it's offering times, offering time, we break out in spontaneous praise. We begin to clap our hands and there ought to be a shout in our voice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I believe when sinners see that you are so excited just over giving, you can, the Bible says God loves a joyful giver, a cheerful giver. You can become so hilarious, so cheerful in your giving. I believe sinners would just accidentally jump into the kingdom. I mean, the joy would be so filled. When people get joyful about giving unto God, what would make you joyful? Because you know that God gives back unto you. You say, is that the purpose for giving? Well, you ask a farmer, why do he sow his seed? Because he know he's going to reap a harvest. And if God didn't want us to expect it, then he would not have put it in there. He says, when you do that, you might as well look for the windows of heaven to be open unto you. And God says, I'm going to pour you out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. The reason why sinners get excited is because you have so much, you got to give it away. Whoever comes around you get blessed because they're near you. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 But all the people shall look upon you and say you're blessed. Father, we bless you tonight and thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing on the word of the